Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere. Applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This is Ken and Curtis with Ken Laird and Chris Curtis on WEEI.
It's just too depressing to start Red Sox, Curtis. I would like to talk about what Tommy Curran said. We just heard it on the replay here for those who caught that on the best of. And good morning, by the way.
Morning, Ken.
Christopher John Curtis. This has been a Curran theme. He has been pumping the tight end Tyler Warren from Penn State for weeks now. Is there something here behind this smoke? Is there some fire here? Could the Patriots take a tight end with the fourth pick?
No,
I know you're kind of mocked out.
But there's zero chance they take a tight end.
He is gushing about it's too much to not be something. He heard somewhere that they're in on Tyler Warren. Or he's just desperate for an offensive weapon, I guess. But that's his overall point. They need offense.
What is he more locked in on? The tight end at four or a house not being in Connecticut?
Well, he was right about that.
Who knows? Tom could have bought. We had the Greenwich Selectman on. He seemed to confirm the reporting.
You think Tom does have a house in Connecticut?
I'm sure he has a house many places. But this is the time where I don't dispute that. First of all, we now know, given that cut I used on Monday morning, which we should use again today, of Tom Curran saying that Elliot Wolf belongs in Bass Pro Shop, that he's not getting this from Elliot Wolf. I think that's pretty clear.
That is clear. He is. You got to have some Huckleberry. You got to pick somebody, and he has chosen Elliot Wolf, and it's a good one. I enjoy it.
But it's so counter to his normal Kraft espionage work. Like Kraft is the reason Elliot Wolf is still here.
Maybe he's throwing people off the scent.
No, but that's another person where it's like, it's not Elliot Wolf's fault. Like, as I say, if I ask James to drive me to work and he gets in an accident, he's not culpable.
Well, he was culpable in the draft last year, was he not?
Right. But what? Exactly. So was Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick's not here. So you make changes. You get rid of people.
Well, they got rid of Mayo.
They
didn't get rid of Elliot Wolf, who's the one guy. He, by the way, Wolf took credit for the roster from last year.
Right, so that's my point.
It's my fault.
Elliot Wolf's boss is Robert Kraft.
Yeah.
So the guy that should be in the Bass Pro Shop is in the draft room, and the person you should be mad at is not Elliot Wolf, it's Robert Kraft.
Well, again, Kraft's not going to draft the players. He's not reading Dane Brugler's Bible. Elliot Wolf did, has his own Bible.
Are you not following me? Right.
I don't think
you're making
sense
here. He did a horrible job. Elliot Wolf did a horrible job.
Right.
He should not be part of the organization.
He
the person that is employing him is Robert Kraft.
Right. It's not Kraft's fault. I mean, Kraft should have fired him, I guess.
Right. The fact that he's here today is the fault of Robert Kraft, not Elliot Wolf.
But he's here as a puppet.
Do you think he's been beneficial to the organization this offseason? Or do you think they've had to clean up aisle Elliot like six times?
I don't think Harold Landry signs here without Elliot Wolf's presence.
Right.
He probably was the charm in that meeting that got it done.
It's not that he played for Vrabel in Tennessee. That probably had nothing to do with it. Or that he went to Boston College.
Correct.
But they're not going to draft a tight end at four. They are going to end up with, I still believe, either Hunter or, what the hell is it, Carter.
Carter's falling. He's visiting Monday. He is visiting the facility on Monday, one of four teams he's visiting. He also posted a video after his Giants trip of him and a Lawrence Taylor jersey or some kind of morphed.
As somebody that's covered this, you know all of this is hot air. This is just nonsense. Nobody's being honest about anything.
Yeah, but one person is honest, and that's Vrabel.
Really?
And
you don't think he could be coy?
Well, but we have sourcing.
What's that song? Be coy, Roy.
Yeah, what is that song?
50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Oh, there you go. Paul Simon. A Paul Simon reference, and Zach Coe comes in and nails it.
Co-captain.
He is the co-captain of the show. But anyway, your cohort in the morning, Greg Hill,
I'm his cohort. I mean, let's not ruffle feathers.
Well, he's our buddy. He has sourcing of his own, and he has seemingly made it known that they want Travis Hunter, right?
Right.
He's been told that. Now, if he's not there, there seems to be some discussion that they don't like Abdul Carter, even if he falls to them. There was a report from this guy, Bob McGinn. I only heard it through Bedard.
I read him again and again.
And he talked about Abdul Carter and said he plays his ass off on Saturday, but he's not a great guy during the week because he's so gifted.
So do you think that'll be an issue because they play on Sunday in the NFL?
I think it's an issue with Vrabel because his whole motif is to clear the deck for Drake May and to get rid of problem people, and he does not want to add another problem person.
So then but that's another guy. Like Tom Curran, who's wax poetic about how they want character at receiver, then they sign Steph Diggs.
Like Steph Diggs is a great guy.
But exactly. So why are we taking what they're saying at any level of face value?
Well, it's interesting to talk about. It's 2 weeks away from the draft.
Not going to draft a tight end. You agree?
I think they might trade down and draft a tight end.
At four, they will not draft a tight end.
I'd be stunned with that.
Okay.
That's what Curran's advocating, which is bizarre.
Exactly. You think 0% chance of happening. And if we were to give Tom Curran a lie detector test, do you think he believes the Patriots will draft a tight end at number four?
I think it's
just
so
simple. Yes or no?
Can I give you a little
context? No, I just want a quick answer. Do you think if he was being honest?
I think Curran believes it. That's why he's saying it. I think there's got to be something to it. Otherwise, it's so bizarre.
Somebody told it to him, so he's regurgitating it, which is his job.
But do you think it's just
subterfuge? Spin. Of course.
Yeah, God, he is on it so much, though. It just makes me convinced that there's something, that there's like a 5% chance they're actually going to take time. And honestly, I'd rather that than the tackle, as we talked about last week.
And in hindsight, like I think the gold standard of false reporting, outside of Volan talking to the season ticket holder that worked at Barstool without ever doubling down on that source, is the Schefter, they will not trade Jimmy G for 5 number ones.
Well.
But here's the thing.
Give Curran a little credit. I mean, Schefter is spun. Curran gets info and is usually right more times than not.
Curran has been a top spinning for the crafts for 2 years.
But he's usually right.
About what? I mean, I'm sure he's right. I'm not saying he's wrong all the time, but he's clearly compromised when it comes to that reporting angle.
Well, I think we know where he gets his sourcing.
I mean, who was the guy, Ahmad Rashad, that was the muse of Michael Jordan? Like, that's Tom Curran to Robert Kraft.
That's hurtful.
Tom Curran is now Jim Gray to Tom Brady with Robert Kraft.
Okay, so who are they taking?
They're going to take
less than 2 weeks.
One of those two. They're going to take either, if Travis Hunter falls,
he's not.
They're going to take Carter, and if not, they'll take Campbell. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, God. They're going to take Will Campbell.
Yep.
That is just, you agree. You agreed with me last week. That is just sad.
Yeah, I think short arms are.
But if they take Carter, most fans, I would think, I'm not every fan, fans celebrate, like the Drake May pick, like the Christian Gonzalez pick. You remember Rich Keefe, we had the video of him on draft night reacting to the Gonzalez pick. He was doing cartwheels in here. Right. If they take Abdul Carter, people are psyched, right? People are pumped.
This is the Carter rejoin.
Even though he's a defensive player, most people like offense.
Right. We're horned up.
But you get a pass rusher. That's good. That's sexy.
Right.
You get somebody who's maybe the best player in the draft.
You know what I read online? Defense wins championships.
Well, that seems to be Vrabel's motif, but maybe he feels like tight ends win championships. The three tight end offense with Tyler Warren.
Bill Belichick had an incredible run of drafting in the first round, considering that the Patriots almost every year were drafting 28 or worse. The two dumbest.
Cole Strange was his last gift.
But I'm talking about
Gonzalez.
From 01, Richard Seymour, through Vince Wilfork in 03 at 10.
Mm-hmm. Mac Jones, a lot of value.
04, 05 was the most bizarre, where they take Dan Graham and Benjamin Watson in consecutive drafts at tight end.
Logan Mankins?
That was a great first round pick, 32.
Another Fresno Warren, Ty State. Warren. Forget about Tyler Warren, Ty Warren.
Right.
Back to the future.
The only ones that were kind of near were Dominique Easley and the other tackle, Malcolm Brown. But overall, I mean, even Lawrence Maroney was very successful for a period.
McCourty?
In the 1 year they were in the top 10, they traded back two spots to take Jerod Mayo. They got McCourty out of Rutgers, moved him to safety. I mean, the first round picks were phenomenal, almost flawless.
In the 2010s, it faded, as you say. Dominic Easley, Malcolm Brown, and then Nikhil.
But the top, what was it, 15? Was it 14, Hightower, 16?
No, that was earlier. That was
2011?
12. 2012. Chandler Jones, not the Hightower.
What was Hightower?
25th.
Oh, that's a great pick.
That's a great pick, no doubt.
But, yeah, so I'm trying to praise the guy. Now you're ripping Belichick. But where they are, you cannot F up. Another one that, you know, a quote I heard from the Boob Wolf was that he said, "We know we're going to get a good player at four. I'm not worried about that." That is, like, that's the single worst way you could. This pick will literally alter the trajectory of this franchise for the next 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you hit it, then you are on your way to really building the foundational opportunity for a team that's in contention with Drake May for 5 to 10 years.
Right. Before last year, when did they have a top five pick prior to that? I mean, it's decades.
Decades.
You've had it 2 years in a row. I think you have to go.
Was it Bledsoe?
Well, Richard Seymour was sixth.
No, after Bledsoe, that's not obviously top five. They were 5-11 in Bill's first year.
McGinnis, I guess.
Yeah.
Willie McGinnis, 1994.
Was he fourth, three?
Fourth.
Wow.
And then Bledsoe the year before that. So three decades before, since you've had this kind of opportunity. And you
but
got
think of what Willie McGinnis meant to the first part of that dynasty.
Right.
Was the guy that Wiggy says was the backbone of that locker room.
What's Shime's current mock? 5.7.
By the way, Shime yesterday said, you know, oh, it'll be good. Scheffler's teeing off in the afternoon. The course will have dried down by then. It's going to be easy. It was like the worst afternoon conditions at the Masters.
And he ripped my guy Rory, and he rips off a 66.
Who said Bryson yesterday?
Is that Bryson? I think he's the favorite.
I mean, that's what I said pre-route two. I said, the only thing I know is that Justin Rose is not going to win.
He chipped out of the sand there and put it
in. I mean, he looks exactly like a Bryson.
He looks like he's back in Bryson mode. He lost it for a while. Now he's back to being a Bryson.
And is he on the Live Tour?
Yeah, I think he is.
So I want them because there's all this talk about how John Rahm can't compete anymore because he's on Live.
Rahm has collapsed.
Like, by the way, Phil Mickelson has somehow morphed into this, like, evil man. Like, the way he, like, conducts himself on the course. You got Jack Nicklaus crapping on his head pre-round. But the rooting against Scheffler is now my thing. Because he's just, there's nothing there. There's no there. There's no persona.
He got arrested.
Yeah, I mean, he does kind of have a booze bag face.
Yeah.
But, I
don't dislike him.
I just don't.
But now I'm openly rooting for Rory because now the shot was so.
I don't know why I thought this. The only majors he's won are the Masters.
Yeah, two Masters.
Doesn't it seem like he's won other majors? Doesn't it feel to you?
Yeah, it feels like he should be.
I mean, he has two.
Did he win like Players Championship or something like that?
But who cares? I mean, the golf was not great for Scheffler, but it was great. That guy Hatton, who was 1 foot away and bopped it off the edge of the hole.
This is going to be a great weekend. The weather is so bad in New England.
Oh,
the ratings are going to be through the roof.
It sucks outside.
It's so bad. I was looking at like flights to anywhere where there was sun tomorrow, but then I couldn't justify it. Like I could fly to Virginia Beach tomorrow.
You're doing a day trip?
Buffalo actually is looking nice Sunday. They have nice. I thought about driving to Buffalo for Sunday.
Why don't you fly to the south side of Chicago?
Yeah, I could do that, but God, what a disaster that was.
Why are the Red
trying
Sox
to hold off on that?
Awful.
I want to address
what do you
that question.
Think the
Can I get this text in? Perfect.
Yeah.
603. Curtis, yesterday when you talked about Office Space, all I could do was picture Shime as Milton trying to get a piece of cake.
There's just certain movies that I feel like
Shime.
You have to watch.
Yeah.
But
Shime's in at 11.
Yeah.
Shime and Mego. WooSox have been postponed because of snow. That's the kind of vibe we got going on in New England right now.
Sam Kennedy said, what are you postponing it so early for?
It's a little early. They could have used that excuse if they didn't hit today. It's cold out. I have some other evidence, though, coming in that the Patriots might trade back. And I'll give that to you after Zach Coe trends.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Red Sox bats quiet again last night in Chicago. They fell to the White Sox 11-1 in an ugly one on the south side. Five errors committed by the Sox, and they now lead all of baseball with 19 in 15 games. Here's what Red Sox manager Alex Cora had to say after the game.
Bad night overall, you know, like we didn't hit, we didn't play defense, we didn't pitch. So, you know, turn the page, be ready for tomorrow. But we just got to be better.
They'll look to rebound this afternoon when Richard Fitz takes the mound opposite Martin Perez. You can hear that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Coverage starting at 3:10 with Joe Weil on the Mass Mutual pregame show. Then Will Fleming and Cooper Boardman with the call of the game, first pitch from Rate Field at 4:10. Celtics beat the Charlotte Hornets 130-94 last night at the Garden. Peyton Pritchard leading the way with 22 points for the Seas. They were, of course, without Jaylen Brown as he continues to nurse that right knee injury. And according to ESPN, Brown received a pain management injection this week. He should be ready for the start of the playoffs. Celtics will wrap up the regular season slate tomorrow afternoon, hosting those same Charlotte Hornets, tip off from the Garden at 1. Bruins heading to Pittsburgh tomorrow for the penultimate game of the season, taking on the Penguins. Currently sitting as the fourth worst team in the NHL, Bruins have a 9.5% chance at the top overall pick. Puck drop from PPG Paints Arena set for 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. Round 3 of the Masters down at Augusta, Justin Rose leading the way at 8-under. Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. Rory McIlroy and Corey Connors both at 6-under, rounding out the top 3. Reigning winner Scottie Scheffler sits tied for 5th at 5-under. Finally, the Boston University Terriers going for a national title tonight in St. Louis. They're taking on the Broncos of Western Michigan in the Frozen Four Final. You can hear coverage of that one over on WEEI 850 AM. Puck drop at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Ken and Curtis coming up after this.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 orders. Service fees apply for 3 orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Yo, there's some Seager. Shime loves him some Seager. He'll be on at 11. It's turn the page day for the Red Sox.
I don't want to be enraging the classic rock folks, What's the difference between this and The Gambler?
He sounds like
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers in this song, actually. But Seeger's got a much deeper collection. I mean,
can we
much,
play
much
this
better.
Side by side with the Gambler?
Have you heard Kathmandu? No, that's a banger.
I've been there.
Hollywood Nights?
I've been to Hollywood.
Another banger.
At night.
Seeger's got some that have not stood up for the test of time, though.
Yeah.
Like old-time rock and roll. You hear that in the grocery store now.
Did you hear
like,
my running against the wind pun yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been on it.
Great. You've been on it. You also stole John Curtis's IOU joke. I know.
I literally thought of that when he was in surgery. I was like, I really hope he comes through because this is a hell of a one-liner.
Well, congrats to John Curtis. Yeah.
He's listening. Good morning,
overcome.
Dad. Can I just say this?
Turn the page today, John.
There is nothing more dysregulating than leaving an ICU, either as a customer or as someone visiting, and you walk outside and the world's just as you left it, and you're like, what? Like, how is this? Because you're lost. Like,
yeah.
I'm walking to get my car. Every hospital here is the greatest in the world, but you're a half hour away from everything. Like, getting to and from the Brigham, you might as well go to the moon. Like, it's just, and it's great because the people that design it are much better at surgery than they are at Rhodes, all of that.
Yeah, you're right about the Rob Hale picture. He and his wife have a great picture of them. Whoever did the characterization of them is awesome. It's like glowing on the wall there.
Every building you go into,
yeah, the Hale
Rob
building.
Hale's there and his wife, the Hale family. But it is the way in which, from soup to nuts, meeting with the surgeon before the bypass surgery on Thursday, which was a couple weeks ago. And you sit down, and I'm, you know, asking him, and he said, well, you know, John, if you want me to do it, it's a teaching hospital, I'll do it. I'll do the surgery. I'll be home for dinner. He's got 98% chance success rate. Well, bum, bum, bum. And it's like the true way that you can find intellect is the manner in which they can make something incredibly difficult to understand, comprehensible to those that are not intelligent. And that is what these people do. Yesterday in the Brigham, I was told they had 8 open heart surgeries.
Jeez.
Just 8 people's lives they just saved.
Just knocking them out,
okay,
one after
up. In and out.
Let alone transplants or whatever else is
like
going on.
Better, it's like better, more accurate live reads than Wiggy. Like, it's a wonder what they're able to do, but beyond grateful to live here and have that. So that is on the mend, and hopefully
news.
Out of the ICU soon.
Now here's some other news, NFL related, Patriots related, yesterday, and I think this is big. Saints quarterback Derek Carr, shoulder injury that puts his status for the entire 2025 season in jeopardy, Curtis, according to multiple reports.
Who's this?
The New Orleans Saints and Derek Carr. Picking 9th. Now desperate for a quarterback.
Would
and
you say
you hold
Derek
the
Carr
fourth pick.
Is the worst good player of this era?
No. It's my San Diego quarterback. What's his name?
Herbert.
Herbert.
Well, he's too young. I mean,
no,
Derek Carr.
People Carr's have anointed him as good, and he stinks.
No, I know. But like for me, it would either be like Eli Manning was the worst good quarterback for a while. He had that honor. Now I would say Derek Carr. I mean, the amount of money he is. Remember when Derek Carr was outraged that Tom Brady was considering joining the team he was on?
Yeah, how much did they pay him on this contract?
I don't know, but it's just the Carr brothers have been paid like $3 billion to suck.
If they try to trade up to 4 to get a quarterback because they're desperate, Shadur or Jackson Dart or whoever's left there, would you do it if you're Vrabel and the Pats? Would you trade back to 9?
Sure. If you can't get Carter or
right, Carter and Hunter are gone.
Yeah.
It seems to me like a no-brainer. And then Tom E. Curran's Tyler Warren pick makes a lot of sense. Then you get the next George Kittle.
So here's my question. Do you think the best way to shore up something is to add in places you don't need it?
No.
So, like, that would be like spending a bunch of money on someone like Greg Hill when you have the rest of the station to worry about. Like, you have the defense, which is set. You have the offensive line, which is a sieve. Mm-hmm. You have the tight ends, which is probably your most consistent player of the last 4 years in Hunter Henry.
How old is he?
31? I don't know.
Correct.
Okay.
How old is Drake May?
I think he's 16.
Okay, so you get Tyler Warren, you get some teenagers together.
Okay.
For a 10-year run.
So you have Steph Diggs. Who's your number two receiver?
Tyler Warren.
Okay, that's tight end. Who's your number two receiver?
Mac Hollins.
Okay.
Or Kendrick Bourne, I guess.
So the one thing that I will never understand is you have an offensive player, like your defense. You have last year, right? Matthew Judon, a guy that has been all-pro level good when on the field prior to that deal. And you get a third rounder for him, which in hindsight was a great move.
Excellent move.
probably Elliot Wolff's lone good move. But why at this time of year, when you're speculating on these players, do talented NFL above league average players go for so little? Like, if you told me I could get who is a good, not great receiver? Is McLaurin with Washington? Is that like a...
He's pretty good. So he might be great.
Who's a guy that's out there that...
Like Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, right. So if you were able to use the number 9 pick and get a guy for the next 3 years that gave you Cooper Kupp average numbers, that would be a home run of a pick.
Well, isn't that Tyler Warren? He's still a pass catcher. Plus, he can block in your offense. Like, if he's George Kittle or if he's Gronk,
where did George Kittle go in the draft? Where did Gronk go in the draft?
Well, Gronk was second round.
Let's go over the tight ends taken in the first round in NFL history.
Yeah, you don't typically take it that high. Like, Kyle Pitts just went to the Falcons.
And right, he's really changed that offense.
Okay, but you're hoping this guy's different.
But like, who was the last first-round tight end that made a massive difference?
Zach looked that up. When's the last first-round tight end that made a massive difference?
Was Shockey a first-round pick out of Miami?
Oh, he was high. He might have been third.
So there you go.
But I don't think he was...
Great touchdown dances.
Or Kellen Winslow might have been third.
Oh, what a quality guy.
That was a bust. But okay, so what would you do then at 9? Tackle? Or wide receiver?
Wherever you have a need, I would fill it with the best player at one of those needs. Okay. Because this... you remember what Drake May had going on last year. The only way this next season is a failure...
Especially if you have no tackle, isn't it nice to have a young tight end that you can just dump it off to for the next 10 years? Like, this is the guy, this is the signature safety valve. You got no protection, but Drake May can run around and just dump it down to Tyler Warren. That's good.
Ken, I don't know anything about Warren. I couldn't tell you two things about
6 foot six, best tight end in the draft, two-way player.
Okay, and where do you go to college?
Penn State. I know you don't like
Penn State. Watched a lot of Big Ten football.
He had 104 catches last year. 104!
Okay.
1,200 yards.
Did he go to that awful Italian restaurant growing up?
What is your problem with the Italian restaurant in Greensburg, Pennsylvania?
I'm trying to figure out where the bias is coming. It's just a goof. God in heaven.
Kittle went...
It actually wasn't that bad.
In the fifth round.
The company was much worse at my table. But
go ahead. Zach's got the first.
Yep.
Brock Bowers last year to the Raiders.
Ooh.
Dalton Kincaid the year before. Trey McBride in 22. And then... after that, you have to go all the way to 2019 for T.J. Hockenson.
Well, Brock Bowers, I will take. Thank you very much.
What did he do for the Raiders?
What were his numbers this year? He had a good year.
Right. What did he do for the Raiders?
Well, he caught a lot of balls. He's not part of the. He's part of the solution.
Okay, so we have Hockenson, Kincaid,
he had 112
McBride.
Catches in his first
McBride
year.
McBride is on the Cardinals, correct? He just got re-upped?
Yes.
He's the guy who had that massive game against the Patriots. He had like that weird streak without a touchdown. Okay. Awful. The Cardinals, do you think McBride, if look in hindsight, that the Cardinals wish they had taken someone else?
What pick was he in the first round? Because Bowers was 13th.
Okay. I'll get the
number. 23.
Oh, McBride went second round.
Okay. Not a first round pick.
No, sorry. You went first round. Sorry. When did he go?
23rd.
That's pretty deep. So that's something I'm not even sure that qualifies. Anyway. I like Brock Bowers. That's a great answer, Zach Coe. If you get Brock Bowers with the 9th pick, that's a nice draft. And you probably pick up another what? To go from 9 to 4, what are you getting in return pick-wise from the Saints?
If you're the Raiders, would you rather have Xavier Worthy or Brock Bowers?
Brock Bowers. Love Brock Bowers.
Okay. To me...
So you're not feeling it. You don't do tight ends in the top 10. It's just a Curtis rule.
I mean, if you have... Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Troy Brown. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a great team, sure. But, and if you're the Chiefs, if you're on the cusp, right? Or if you're the Ravens. Andrews is the Ravens' best weapon, maybe along with my guy from BC.
Right. Like, think how important Andrews has been to Lamar Jackson.
But
and Bill, did Bill in the book admit that he should have taken Lamar Jackson?
I haven't. I did see that. But, my God, that Patriot Way blurb from Shaughnessy, phenomenal.
You've now turned in favor of Bill. You like you're happy. You love his book.
I love when I see the real person of people. When I see the authentic self, it makes me feel grateful to know. Which is why the Linda Holiday, the night of the Saints playoff game with the Bucks, saying that the defense won the game was great because it was like, okay, this is how they really feel. They don't like one another. They're mad when the other succeeds. They're just like us. And the Patriot Way thing was a big bridge for Vrabel to come back across, because we all believe that part of the reason Vrabel was shipped up out of here in the Matt Cassel trade was because he was complaining about the building of Patriot Place and that the players got none of that money, but they were behind the naming of it because of their success on the field. But the I love that Belichick doesn't mention Kraft's name. I love that Belichick mocks them for the creating a Patriot way and how they made a lot of money off of it.
Well, here's our buddy Ben Volen had reported this, that while the where the book falls short is Chapter 10, which is entitled Mistakes. Belichick does admit a few, not drafting Lamar Jackson in 2018, leaving D-tackle Dan Klecko off the game day roster in Super Bowl 38 against the Panthers, cutting a player who was swimming with his family in the pool at a team party on the Cape, and all the players he wanted to keep but couldn't for financial reasons, Brady chief among them, but nothing about Malcolm Butler in the book. But anyway, Belichick did admit not taking Lamar Jackson.
Did he say Brady wasn't kept because of financial reasons?
And that's what Ben alludes to here. There's not a direct quote, but that's what it's in the mistakes. And he must blame Kraft for it, you know, secondhand there.
Ben, what the hell? I mean, of all the things to leave
buried
out.
Buried that puppy.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I wonder if he's putting that on Kraft in the book.
And now Parcells is getting in the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Bill won't get in for 20 years.
No. They're not going to be mending that fence for a long time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. When's the next time Bill Belichick's back in New England?
I don't know. When do they play BC? UNC BC?
True.
It is so weird seeing him coach at North Carolina. It's so sad.
It is. Well, it's sad, but as you said, you're going to watch this year.
Of course.
It's kind of sad, but it's kind of actually become a novelty.
I mean, if he was coaching Rivers, I'd probably go watch that too. It'd be fascinating.
But anyway, back to your point, Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson. How good has Mark Andrews been as a tight end?
Right,
for
but
that
that's
team?
A team, when you have a guy like Lamar Jackson and you have a roster as talented as the Ravens, you can have one of your more talented players be a tight end and be successful.
He was a third-round pick.
But look at what the Ravens have done since they got Zay Flowers. They have gotten further in the playoffs.
It's taken them up a notch.
Lamar Jackson has won MVP how many times? That has shifted their offense far more than just a tight end would.
Could they get T-Mac at nine, or is he gone by then? 508 texter. Yeah, Tet McMillan, I guess. There's some question about his speed and whether he can separate. I'm afraid of them taking a receiver now. At any position.
They need a receiver.
I know they need one. What should the Patriots do, especially if the Saints want to trade up at four? Would you trade back or would you stay and take whoever's left? 617-779-7937. Less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Let's go to Nate in the truck here on Ken and Curtis. Morning, Nate.
Hey, good morning, guys. Hey, Curtis, man, what do we need for Drake May? You've been saying it all along. You got to give him an impact player. If they're going to trade back from the four to the nine spot, why wouldn't you give the top guy in his position, being the tight end with Tyler Warren? That guy had 102 receptions, had 1,200 yards, 8 touchdowns, and he lined up in the slot. Why wouldn't you give this guy a legitimate weapon? Tell me. Give me a good reason.
They did give him a good weapon. I mean, they got Diggs. I mean, they have helped him in that way.
Yeah, but just Diggs. And everybody keeps saying coming off an ACL injury, everybody knows off the following year, they're not the same. It actually takes 2 years for them to actually get back to their normal self. So tell me again, we keep saying give them weapons. Wouldn't Tyler Warren be a weapon?
Good point, Nate.
Oh, of course.
What's the problem? Why aren't you supporting Ken right now?
Thank you, Nate. Can I get some support on the show finally for once?
Because I don't believe that a pass-catching tight end is going to change this offense. I don't know the gap between Tyler Warren and Hunter Henry versus a receiver. Nate, I don't need your help right now. Versus a receiver that can stretch the defense, I would far prefer that over a tight end when you already have Hunter Henry.
Awesome. And Ken just answered your question for that. This year with the wide receivers, you're not getting Jefferson. You're not getting those type of guys. So why wouldn't you get that top tight end guy?
So why not get Ashton Jeanty then?
And here's
another good question.
Ashton Jeanty? That's a good pick. Don't get me wrong, but you can't do it at number four. Maybe number nine. But
well, that's
that
what
time,
we're talking about
gone.
Is number nine. Why, yeah. We're talking about the tight end or anybody else at nine.
Because you're gonna have Chicago possibly or even the Raiders jump up and get Austin Jeffrey before.
So then why don't you take him at four?
That's what's gonna happen.
So then why don't you take him at four if he's not good?
You don't take him. Everybody's been saying not to take him at four because that's too high for a running back. Everybody knows that.
But you just said he'd be gone by nine. So what's if he's really that good of a player? Why wouldn't you take Jeanty at four?
What if you trade back to nine and then up to seven?
Ooh, what if he carried the two?
There we go. That's a good one.
I like it. Thank you, Nate. Anyway, I like the support.
Right.
He put the screws to you.
And we need to get we just need to get Steph Diggs in touch with Edelman's doctor, if you know what I mean, to get back from that quick.
He has an excellent doctor?
Well, they fast-tracked it a bit.
I don't think they're going to rush Diggs back for week one. I don't think the season is hinging on.
But like, think about how big of a stooge you have to be if you're Schefter. They're like, and he'll be back week one. Like, could you at least not read verbatim the press release?
Well, speaking of stooges, we had the agent for Abdul Carter come out and talk about his knee. And that, of course, is Drew Rosenhaus. And he said the foot injury should be a non-factor. So he's getting out in front of it and saying, his foot is fine. Surgery is not going to be required. He showed continued improvement. But there is that thought that there's something with the foot that is obviously they're addressing it for a reason. Rosenhaus is putting this out there for a reason. So maybe Carter will drop it for. I just don't know if Vrabel's going to take him. He's kind of spooked about him for some reason, medical or emotional or leadership wise. That's going to be the most interesting thing. If Carter's there and then they pass on him, old Vrabel will be second-guessed big right out of the
They're
right
not
going to
pass on Carter if he's there at four. No chance.
Okay. 617-779-7937. Let us know what you think about the draft, and that's coming up here in just a couple weeks. Now,
where are you today in believing they will do the right thing and have a good draft?
I think Vrabel will do the right thing to build a great defense. That's his first instinct. I don't know about their offensive ability. Drafting, developing.
You're not big on McDaniels.
I kind of like McDaniels, but I just don't. He doesn't have much of a track record there. I don't know. What's his best draft pick? Did he take Bowers? No.
I'm not talking about him. I'm just thinking about the outfit. Yeah, I don't think they had any. He was part of the draft that took Tebow in Denver, wasn't he?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I need to do more research on. Are they going to let McDaniels make those picks if he's really running the offense?
I don't think so. I think this is Vrabel's operation. And I wouldn't be shocked if there was a Giants-Patriots deal in the first round. Because you have Daboll, who's got the relationships with the Patriots. You have the guy that is Vrabel's new Elliott Wolf, who was just with the Giants in their front office.
You go up to three.
I don't know. I just see them having a working simpatico. If they, the Giants and the Patriots, one team needs a quarterback, one team doesn't. It might be interesting to see how that manifests.
And then there's this scuttlebutt that they still might pull off a signature trade of some kind.
Maybe. Well, that was Greg Bedard, and he says that on social media.
I think Breer said it as well.
Right. So here's what happens. Bedard and Breer are good friends.
Yep.
Or Bedard and Breer share information. Breer does the reporting. Breer fleshes some things through with Bedard, and then Bedard takes it and acts like it's his own reporting. He does it all the time. But back when I had all that stuff with Wickersham, when that book was coming out, the Brady Guerrero versus Belichick stuff, I was getting all the same stuff. It wasn't my reporting. He would just talk about it on the radio and act like it was his own.
But is there truth to it? Like, that's all I really care about. So
I think that Vrabel wants to improve this team and get the biggest bang out of the buck. So saying they're closed and not accepting offers would be the opposite of that.
Okay, so if they trade for a left tackle, they trade a second-round pick for some team's young left tackle, wouldn't that be nice?
Awesome. Why didn't they do that with Tunsil?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Maybe. Why did they use McDaniel's brother as the receiving coach connection to Diggs, but not use Nick Caserio in that relationship to get the left tackle?
I hope they have a plan.
Think how
right.
different you are right now. If you have a left tackle entering this draft, how much more flexibility you have.
Frees you up for everything. Now I'm just terrified that Will Campbell's the fourth pick.
Right.
Let's get George in Warwick in on the Pats draft. Hi, George.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. Love the draft talk. Here's what my issue will be. I am putting my faith in what Mike Vrabel has said since his opening presser and since. He is gathering a staff of people who can identify, coach, connect with, and train talent. So whatever the names are, I expect a left tackle, maybe another interior lineman, a tight end and a deep tight end draft, and a wide receiver. I don't care who they are.
Yeah.
What I will care about is if they don't measure up to the standard Mike Vrabel set in his first press conference.
Mm. Yeah, okay, George, I agree. I mean, they need to fill those. I'm sure they will. I mean, they've added somebody to every position group in free agency, so it's not like they're not active. And Vrabel's no dummy. They must have some tackle plan. What is it? I mean,
Moses at right.
And who's his new? It's Ryan Cowden, right? Is his new
GM.
Basically the GM.
Yeah.
So that's the guy I guess you should go and check his track record. And do you have faith in Ryan Cowden?
Well, it wasn't his draft where he was, so.
Yeah. He was with the Giants, is that right?
Yeah, he was in the between. Daniel Jones. I'm just kidding. I don't think he had anything to do with Daniel Jones.
Let's go to Eric in the car. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you doing? Trying to get going here. A couple of things. Let's make the Red Sox. I'm tired of Tristan Casas. I'm tired of Xanthix. I'm tired of the way he talks. I'm tired of all his juju he brings to the team. Let's go put Devers at first base. Let's say he can feel the ground ball. His throwing was the problem. I'm sure he can scoop a ball because he was a third baseman and he was hitting the hard line drives that were skipping. And let Yoshida be the DH. Sit Casas down. He's not right. And he just brings too much bad juju to this whole thing. And you're going to make Rafael Devers so happy putting a glove on him and let him play in the field.
Yeah.
It's just a big problem with the Red Sox right now.
I get it, Eric.
And as far, yeah, and I just want to say one thing about Tyler Warren. Tyler Warren is the real deal. And if you can get a second and a fourth, trade down to 9, then you can take that and move back into the first round with all that capital, and go get a tackle, you know, one of the third or fourth tackles that are on the board if you're worried about this kid at 4. So you can do a lot of things, but Tyler Warren is a stud, and he needs help. It doesn't matter what's a running back, a wide receiver, or a tight end.
There you go.
Tight end, he's going to be the best, and he's going to be great for a long time.
Thank you, Eric. There you go.
Let's get James Franklin on.
2-0 Laird on the Tyler Warren.
I hadn't heard Tyler Warren's name once until this morning.
Well, Curran's been it's just shocking how often Curran says Tyler Warren.
Who do they say? Well, let's go back. Let's see who Tom Curran said they were drafting last year.
Actually, he was not a Drake May guy last year, was he?
No.
Who was he advocating for?
I think.
Oh, he was a trade back guy.
I think he was Tim Hasselbeck.
But he's tight with Vrabel. He wasn't that tight with Mayo. Maybe he's got better sources.
Wasn't tight with Mayo? What are you talking about?
I don't know. Just trying to speculate as to why he failed last year, and this year he's right. But anyway, I'm right. Okay. Trade back and take Tyler Warren. That's the play. Let us know if you agree. Now, quick diversion. What do you want to talk Red Sox next? Or Casas stuff is definitely – people will definitely want to talk about Casas. I mean,
yeah, maybe we can do a quick review of the Clubhouse to this
Let's
point.
Review Clubhouse, Netflix series, and what the hell is the plan at first base. Let's do that next.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball – every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drill deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Ken and Curtis on WEEI.
Download the Odyssey app and listen on demand anytime.
3-1. Swing chopper, right side. Casas off the bag. Oh, he dropped the ball. Newcomb gets there, but no one picks it up in time and everyone's safe. Casas took a step to his right, tried a backhand pickup to start a double play opportunity. And on the transfer, the ball just squirted out of his hand. Mydroth safe at second. Omar Narvaez safe at first. And two on with one out in the bottom of the fourth inning.
Kenny Rogers is not superior to Bob Seger, but that song is better than Turn the Page. I would say that. Could I give you that acknowledgement?
I would love to hear it instead of your voice.
Now, how was Cooper Boardman? Made his big league debut last night with Will Fleming, our pre- and post-game guy. Congrats to Cooper, who made the trip out to Chicago. Got a getting a little cameo here this weekend. Did a nice job last night despite the 11-1 defeat, which was awful. Embarrassing.
I think soup to nuts, the broadcast has never been better.
Thank you. I agree. Now, Casas, he makes the big error there in the fourth. 1 of 5 last night. It was a... might as well have exchanged jerseys. You were the White Sox. They were the Red Sox, Curtis. But it was awful. Cost them a couple runs. Eventually, Sean Newcomb, you know, and Josh Winkowski's trying to pitch the game out. It was just an embarrassment. But Casas is having a miserable start to the year. You do have him for 2 years of control left.
Do you think there are such a thing as winning players and losing players?
Sure.
Aren't you a little concerned with how many losing players there are on this team? Like, Trevor Story seems like a fine gentleman, dull as can possibly be. By the way, if your middle name was Dull, your other name would be Ken Dullaird.
That was a reach.
I, so you have Trevor Story, Tristan Casas, absolute, yeah. Just
well, Story just coming off the walk-off. Oh, you mean just personality-wise?
No, and just not winning players. I don't view either one of those guys as a winning player.
Story, I think, could be.
What has he ever won?
Well, he hasn't yet, but eventually Mickelson won, and then eventually he broke the,
And I would compare Trevor Story to one of the great golfers of the last 20 years.
I think that's a good comparison, I think. Good comp by me.
Tristan Casas thinks he's punking people, but he's really punking himself. Like, he's not as smart as he thinks he is. He thinks he's got all these things that he's just getting the haters. Nobody has more people inside that cranium of his, of media, fans. Tristan Casas hears everything. He doesn't ignore the noise. He can't get rid of it and then acts like it's on purpose.
Well, I'm worried about the Netflix thing being in his head.
But don't you think that's the case?
Yeah, I think you're onto something. And I think this series is not doing him any favors. Now that it's out, people have seen it. I know they weren't home much for it. But
and doesn't all this drive home why Alex Cora was such a catalyst for a guy like Bregman, who is a winning player?
Mm-hmm.
And what his arrival did, when you look at what Devers was saying on the Netflix series on the Red Sox about the roster, to the point where they have to have a meeting of Breslow, Cora, Devers, and I don't know who else was in there, talking about how we need to be going in one direction and that you can't bitch about the talent.
Right.
And then you get a guy, and all of a sudden it's, you can't have it both ways.
Well, look at that last year. I mean, even the trip to Worcester when he said he was getting stabbed by knives and Cora had to come out and defend him.
He's a loser. He's a very talented person.
Talented.
I'm sad that he lost his mom. He seems like he's overcome a lot in his life. I'm great that he's here and that he's made the big leagues. I don't want him on my team. He's not a guy.
They tried to trade him. They shopped him in the offseason.
Well, I would shop him again.
I would shop him again, and there's an excellent trade proposal out
there. And by the way, one thing that I don't know if it came through on the radio when I was interviewing Cora down at JetBlue Park and everybody down there, when I would sort of do one needling of Casas' question in each of the interviews.
I noticed that. You like that? That's one of your favorites.
They all would do the eye roll and smile.
Even in the Cora interview with Afternoons this week, they asked him about Casas, and Cora admitted he was interesting, unique.
Do you think Alex Cora finds that interesting or unique, or do you think it's a pain in the ass?
It's a pain in his ass. Now, if he starts hitting 40 bombs and stays healthy, everybody will love him. You admit. If he just starts knocking it out of the park.
But, Ken, that is the lowest common denominator argument. Like,
but he's capable of it. It's not just a pie in the sky.
But I'm just saying, Ken, that's wasted air.
Okay, David Price was passes times three, and he eventually was worth it.
Okay, but that's the point. Of course, if Casas is hitting 380 right now, we're not talking about the idiosyncrasies.
Not 176?
Like Manny Ramirez was tolerated until he wasn't.
I know, but how many games
But I'm serious. But in what case, of course, if a guy's great, you're not going to tolerate everything.
What are the odds he becomes great?
I would say
a 20%. He's got a 20% chance, which is not nothing. So you can't just rip him and say trade him and not discuss the everything about it. He could be a good long-term first base answer, I guess.
Where his talent meets the headache? No, I don't ever see him getting there.
I'm with you. I mean, ultimately, I just think it makes so much sense. Athlon Sports has a trade proposal that you ship him to Seattle, where they shopped him in the offseason for their top catching prospect, 22-year-old Harry Ford. You might have to package another prospect to do it, but you need catching help. Blake Sable, the guy they have in there now, it throws like you do. I mean, guys are stealing.
Rivers, I played catcher. People out. I outmanned Grady O'Gara senior year.
I saw you shoot threes. You were 2 for 30, and you couldn't get it to the rim.
That's great. That has a lot to do with playing catcher.
Well, the arm strength. You lacked it.
Arm strength?
You had no strength. You couldn't get it near the hoop.
It was all a goof. I was a goof. I was missing
on
purpose.
Oh, you missed on purpose. Yep. Okay. All right. What do they do with Casas? And what's the long-term plan at first? You and I asked Cora at Fenway Fest, what about Devers at first base? We were ahead of the curve. He should have been playing first in spring.
Right.
You should have put Rafi at first, not DH, where you need other guys to throw there, like Yoshida, like our last caller said. That would be a good place for Yoshida.
Let's do it.
But they're not doing that. And Cora, I like Cora, but this is not a good reflection on him, the state they're in currently.
But don't you think Cora's saying, get rid of this guy?
He might be now. I mean, yesterday he kind of ripped him in the postgame, too.
Casas
called him out.
When I asked Cora about Casas in the end of February, I am certain that he would have been pumped if they made a trade for Casas off the team.
Do you stick with Casas? Do you trade him? What's your first place plan? I want some answers on that next. 617-779-7937. It's Ken and Curtis on EEI.